podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I'm always encouraged when Pastor Larry exhorts, whether that's a giving or prophecy. There's something about his words that are always encouraging. I'm not sure if telling people that it's their 50th anniversary is encouraging, however, but other than that, it's always encouraging. We are taking a five-week break from Genesis to answer a, and I know some of you are saying, oh, shucks, I mean, and some of you are saying, thank God. But whichever way you are, I trust that the next 5 weeks will be a blessing for you. The next 5 weeks, the goal is to answer the question, why are you in church? Why are you here? Why do you come here? You could be sleeping right now. You could be in a soccer match. You could have gone on a marathon. You could have gone on vacation. Well, why do you go and do this every week? And many times, the question is not even that. It's, if you're listening on a podcast, why aren't you here this morning? Or some of you, the better question is, why do you always sleep when you come here? Why are you always bored? And a big part of the question is really leads to another question. What is church anyway? Because when you don't know what something is, you probably don't know why you should even be doing it. And some of you, the reason why you're here is probably because your spouse dragged you here. Or maybe your mother or your father dragged you here. Or for that matter, you're convicted and you wanted some kind of religious fix because you grew up needing that this was necessary. I want to start by saying the church is really a community. And a community is something that is what church is. It's a thing that we do that's called community. And some of you are probably saying, but I'm antisocial. I don't really need community. Trust me when I tell you that even the antisocial needs something that to be socializing with. To understand community, you have to go back to the roots of community. The root of community or the roots of community is really the family. Family is actually the source of community. It's the beginning point of all community. The family is where you experience people who are available to you. Your parents, supposedly, are available to you so that you can experience what community feels like. Your family is where you find acceptance. You find people accepting you regardless of who you are. When my children were growing up, we were always available and we accepted them regardless of who they were. Family is the place where you get affirmation. I always told my three sons that they were affirmed. I would always look at my first son and say, you are my favorite first son. And then I would go to my second son and I would say, you are my favorite second son. And I would go to my third son and say, you are my favorite. There was always the place of affirmation. It was always the place of affection. And as we grow older and move out of our homes, we go to extended communities. These would be the neighborhood. And that's why we call our neighborhoods our community, because it's the place where people are available to us. It's the neighborhood store. It's the grandma next door. It's the auntie across the street who are available to you because they're your neighbors. They accept you because of your next door to them. They affirm you that you're part of the community, and they give you some level of affection. You've all seen the advertisement of UOB, of the auntie and the young nephew who the rescue people mistook her for a relative, or mistook him, rather, for her grandson. Community extends to your school. When you go to school, your teachers are available to you. They don't only are available to you, they accept you for as long as you pay the tuition, amen? And for as long as you pass your grades, and they affirm you. You are the class top-notcher. You are the class bully or whatever. Or you are the class clown. Or you are the best in swimming. Or you are the best at volleyball. We're affirmed. And throughout the years, even decades later, we're still looking for them or they're still looking for us. It's a place where we get affection. And then you go to your jobs. Once again, we have people who are available to us and people who accept us for as long as we perform. And we are affirmed, and we have affection. These are communities. And it's the same guys that we party with at the end of the day. I mean, we go and we thank God it's Friday. And then you've got your hobbies, your gym buddies, your different kinds of communities. And today, it doesn't end there. It even has these clubs and support groups and what have you. NGOs that we get availability, affection, affirmation. And now we even have social network and social media communities that affirm us and accept us for as long as we keep liking them. There's a fundamental difference between these communities and the church. The church is a spiritual community. We find this word community for the first time ever mentioned in the entire Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 3. Where it says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. That's the first time it's ever been mentioned. This is in reference to Isaac speaking to Jacob and saying, Jacob, at one point we were a tribe and a family of 12 sons, and now you're about to launch out and you have your own community, your own family. You're about to set out and build your own community. A community, therefore, is an extension of the family, supposedly. And that's why you have pseudo-communities that feel like communities but fail us because they really are not what they are able to do or perform for us. The primary thing that differentiates a community or the church is it's a people blessed by God. That's the difference. When you enter a church community, supposedly, if you're doing church right, there is a blessing from God. And we all know that while there are different types of communities, we all know that at some measure they will not fulfill us. You know that the neighborhoods could be the very people who reject you. And you've been in school, and you know that some of your children have been bullied in school. And you know how work is. We think that it'll fulfill us, but sometimes it depresses us. If not, totally tells us we're failures. And then you've got all these hobbies that we do, and for some reason, they leave us unfulfilled. That even our support groups don't work as well as we think they do. In some cases, they're actually the ones that give us a thumbs down. Sadly, even families can fail us at one measure or the other. Some of you, it's not because your family's broken, it's not because but circumstances around you have not worked. And you're here without your family, and that's why there is a spiritual family, the church. A people blessed by God, and that's why when you make church something other than what it's supposed to be, it will fail you. It also is a place where you are made to be fruitful, to be luxuriant, to flourish. It's a place where you increase in numbers. We're not supposed to stay this way. We're supposed to reach others. It was a mission that God has given the community of the people of God. In the Old Testament, the Jews. The Hebrew word is the word kahal, which literally was mentioned 123 times in the Old Testament. And in all of those 123 times, 82 times in reference to this idea of a people that were set apart for God. Acts chapter 25 is one of the last times that this concept was ever mentioned in the New Testament. It reads, the whole Jewish community, there's that word community, has petitioned me. This is speaking about how Festus was speaking about Paul and how he was being petitioned to have him executed by the Jews. The Greek word here is the word plethos, the same concept of being separated unto God. However, in the New Testament, that was the first and last time that word was mentioned. Because in the New Testament, a different word emerged. And that word is the word church. We find that word in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And it says the word church there is the word ecclesia, which in the Greek is very similar to the word kahal, which means a gathering of those who have been called out by God, because the previous reference to faith had been corrupted. And he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Every other community, the gates of hell can prevail against it. The church, it cannot be prevailed upon. With a fundamental difference. The people are available to you not because you pay the tuition, Not because you are more handsome or more pretty or you're from this race or from that race or from this social club. They're just available to you because they're the people of God. The people accept you not because you're any more better than anybody else. You're accepted for who you are because of what Jesus has done for you. You're affirmed not because you're great or you're smart or you're the brightest or the firmest or the sexiest. Or you're affirmed simply because Jesus loves you. And he saved you by the blood. And the measure of affection, regardless of who you are or where you come from. The church. If you understood the church, you'd never be bored. You'd never be late. We'll tackle that next time, next week. Now, for now, let's just talk about why you sleep. Next week, we'll talk about why you're late. The church is like a building, the Bible says. Not a building. This is not the church. The church is like a building. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, as you come to him, as we go to Jesus, he's like a living stone, rejected by humans, however, chosen by God. And precious. If there's anything true about Jesus, was the world rejected him. But God chose him. And not just chose him, God considered him precious. Starting point of the church is that we are believers of Christ. Then he goes on to say, you also are like living stones. Look at the person beside you. I hope they don't look like dead stones. Living stones, chosen and precious. That's what those words were. Are being built into a spiritual house. That idea of a house being built. That's why church does not seem pleasant at times. Because you're being built. You're a stone. And sometimes to fit into the house, you're going to have to be a little bit chipped and shaped and sanded and fitted for a purpose. There's things about us that we are accepted, yes, but we're not when he kept the way we are. God's going to continually refine us and fit us into the house for a purpose, being built, a holy priesthood, the people who are set apart, holy priesthood, to have access to God and bring access to others to God, offering spiritual sacrifices. There's the purpose. Offering, not being forced into doing things. Religion is making you do something, being manipulated by fear to do things for God. But you freely offering yourselves to God. Spiritual sacrifices, not burnt offerings, but spiritual sacrifices. Basically, what that simply means is obeying God. Bible says God delights in obedience rather than sacrifice. He says further, it's acceptable to God. And what's acceptable to God is not our works, but what Jesus perennially and continually does in our lives. That's the church. Last Saturday, this picture was sent to me, and this is a picture of a man who's actually here with us this morning. The man holding the paper, his name is Liam. He's actually English, or I would rather say British. He was baptized last Saturday. He was invited by his girlfriend, Alicia, who's right there beside him. But the reason why I love this picture is because it's a picture of the church. And this just happened last Saturday. This picture has Filipinos, a Brit, an American, a South African, and Singaporeans. That's the church. It's not because you're accepted because you're from one race. You're accepted because Jesus accepted you. There's teachers and businessmen and IT consultants. There's all kinds of people in this picture. That's the church. When you come to church just to attend and punch in your religious clock, it's boring, isn't it? Because you never even made an attempt to connect with the people around you. And you've lost sight of the fact that it is not just the building. The people make up the building. But the Bible also says it's not just like a building, it's also like a body. Interesting, isn't it? These are patterns of what the church looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. He's explaining what the church looks like. Just like a body. The one has many parts. And from all those parts form one body. So it is with Christ. If we call ourselves Christians, this idea of I can follow Jesus without having to be in the church is a theologically wrong concept. Now, I must admit that there are times when the church has failed people. And it's just because leadership has not done it the way it ought to be. But to say that I don't need the church would be the biggest deception you're ever going to have in your life. Because you need it and I need it, and that's the way God designed it. Verse 13 says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. There's that idea of one body. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit, no less, for the body. And he says, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether you're religious or unreligious, whatever your makeup is, you're supposed to be part of the church. Whether you're rich or poor, slave or free, we were all given this one Spirit to drink so that we may be part of this one body. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. He's talking about the body. This church. If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, then I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason stop being part of the body. The body misses something. There are no spare parts in the body of Christ. There are stragglers and there are people who refuse to be part of the body. But that's not the design. The idea is to be part of a body. A few years ago, my youngest son had a pregnancy and lost the baby. And then a second pregnancy and lost the baby again. Now I remember he was pouting and offended in his faith that God would allow that to happen to him. And what kept him afloat was people. People in his small group who kept encouraging him. People who kept telling him that God's going to come through and believing and standing with him. And for years, one in particular who encouraged him a lot had three miscarriages and spoken to him and said, I've had three miscarriages, but now I have three sons and a daughter. And he said, if you will just stay on with God and be encouraged. My son had a son a few years after that, and he's the one who has a brand new daughter. You and I need people. We need people around us, people who are not just people in your gym and fitness. See, when you turn my age, you can fit yourself all day long. It'll sag, amen? That's not your community. You can like and like and like and like your Facebook. It's not going to fulfill you. That's the foregone conclusion. There's research after research after research that tells you that. Your high school classmates, they're going to be fine, but they're not going to be there in your deathbed. They're not going to be there when you're struggling with stuff like this. Verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, it would be weird. Amen? I mean, if everybody here looked like the same thing, it would be weird. That's weird. If the whole body was an ear, it is a mutation. That's not the design. It's designed so that you can be different parts, so you can, in other words, an ear needs to be able to hear, and nose has to smell, and eye has to see. And when you're connected to all of those, then you benefit from all of those rather than fighting them. Verse 18, but the fact God has placed the parts of the body in every one of them just as he wanted them to be. In other words, it's God who places you in a spiritual body as the Holy Spirit leads. Church is a community, but it's not just a community. It's a spiritual community. It's the people of God. Now, you are the body of Christ, he says, and each one of you is a part of it. And the reason why you're bored is because probably because you never really got connected. You just come because it's a religious duty. You never understood what it was. It's also a bride, and then I'll try and land this message. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, these are patterns of the church. It's not a building, but it's like a building. It's not a body, but it's like a body. It's not a bride, but it's like a bride. And here, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The church. Jesus loves this church just like a husband loves his bride. It's like a bride. The church is not just to gather together and hear a nice message or rate the preacher. Okay, he was good today. He was bad last week. The church is there to make her holy, set aside for the purposes of God, to cleanse her by the washing of the water of the word. That's why you come to church, to hear the preaching of the word, so it will wash you, make you holy, make you the bride of Christ. Not so you can just have another good idea, but the power of the word being preached is so important in your life. You'll never fall asleep in church again if you understood what it was doing to you. Here's the good point is now you can decide whether you want to stay in church. Maybe that's not what your idea of what it was, and it really doesn't mean anything to you, and maybe it's time for you to look for another church. And that's not a bad thing. Ask the Holy Spirit where. That's a good thing. To present her to himself as a radiant church. Church has to be radiant, not depressed. Imagine a bride who comes to her wedding and she's late. Hello? Didn't mean to touch on the late today. Next week. We'll deal with that more next week. But a bride who's radiant, is Sunday the first day or the last day of your week? Is your energy gone by the time you get to church? What is church to you? Without stain or wrinkle, without being able to be accused or accusing others. But someone who's in love, they said that Prince Harry and Meghan were so in love, and the body language was so obvious. They didn't have to promote it. They didn't have to talk about the gown and the cake. They could not stop talking about the word. If you watch the docu, the follow-up to the whole thing, the bishops were talking about for the first time, the power of the word of Jesus Christ was preached to millions of people. Because God is able, by the way, in case you didn't know. He's just not cheap like most others are. This is my wife and my three daughters-in-law. My wife and I were not Christians when we got to church. We were actually totally unbelievers. Our life was a mess. Marie and I got saved, and we started going to church. Church was small. It was different people. Our pastor was American. I actually didn't want to go to church, because not that I don't like Americans, amen? But I just thought he couldn't identify with me. And then I got to meet him, and we found out we were both from the 70s, and we both sported long hair, and we ended up with three sons each, and we became best of friends. Church. Relationships. I'm tracking his son right now because his son's wife just gave birth to his third grandchild. This is my daughter-in-law, Carla. She was never close to God. In fact, she was totally ungodly. She got saved in church. And my son met her at church. This is Yasmin. She was a fashion ball. She was nowhere near church or God. Got saved, got discipled in church, and ended up marrying my second son. And this is Christy. None of these people were religious. They were all sinners. But they all got saved. And they all stayed in church. And they all grew in church. It's a community. It's an interesting community. if you build it right, if you do it right. Not consumptive preaching. Church is actually like a bride, a real bride. And I want to close with that. And let me just close this message by saying it's a building. It's not a building, but like a building. It's not a body, but like a body. It's not a bride, but it's like a bride. Question for you is this how you understand church? And I'll give it a pause there. Or question is this your church? The answer is, do you get that this is a building? Because if it's a building, then this is a community. And if this is a community, or this is a body, then you need to be connected. And if this is a bride, then you need to be consecrated and set apart and say, I will make myself available. I will accept people for who they are. I will be a channel of affirming others. And I will be a place where people can find affection. That's the church. When you live the church for what it truly is, it changes the dynamic, it changes your life for good. You stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the revelation of your church. And Father, I pray for your people today, the church. Let this be a turning point of our understanding of what the church is, who the church is, that we are a building, a house of God on earth, a holy people, a people that have been consecrated unto you for a purpose, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And Father, I ask that Holy Spirit, you would touch each one. Would you just lay your hands in your hearts right now? Open my heart, Lord, and put your hands in your eyes as well. Lord, open our heart and my eyes that I might see the church, not the physical church, the spiritual church. The community of God. Father, seal these truths in our hearts and let us respond, Father, properly to the community, to be connected, to be consecrated for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.